We can't say just because our world is prone to love soothing words that we're better than they if we are unwilling to hear what God would say to us. Well, they wanted soothing words. In fact, this guy not only did soothing words, but the Bible says that Jeremiah called him on it. In verse 5, it says, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen! Lord, do so! The Lord perform thy words." You can hear him mockingly say it. "The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place, from this place." And it says, "And nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, Hananiah." He says, "In the ears of all this people as well, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." Want to know what's a true prophet? Does he prophesy correctly? Okay. And the fact of the matter is this guy wasn't. But you couldn't tell that yet. And what we don't realize sometimes until somebody smarter than we took plenty of time to sit down and go through and count every verse of Scripture, that one out of every four verses of your Bible that's there in your lap was prophetic when it was written. So now we look back and we got 25% of this book was hazarded on what God said would happen. And now we look back and the majority of it has already happened just like God said. So we have a more sure word. We don't have to guess about going to heaven one day. When Lisa writes me in my text and says, "I'm going to heaven and I know I'm going to heaven when I die." She was just lit up, listen, at the heels of a funeral. Why? Because we've got a more sure word. Aren't you glad? One in every four verses tells us God is true and let every man be called a liar. And he says, you know, the man you want to listen to is the guy who's been true. Guess what? Jeremiah nailed it on every point. And when Isaiah went into Hezekiah and says, "Don't worry, when the flood comes right up to your necks and it looks like all is lost, God will deliver you," 180,000 people, soldiers, men of mighty men of war around in the cities of Jerusalem, 180,000 of a far more great crew of people were dead in the morning because the death angel passed over and wiped out 180,000 Assyrian warriors who were ready and set to take on and destroy Jerusalem. But God's man prayed, said, "Please help us," and God did. And he promised that because he poured out his heart, he would. Now guys, listen, the principle's true. You got stuff in your life, you got struggles in your life, you got vexations in your life, you pour out your heart, and God will make your troubles go away. Much like it did with George's. Doesn't mean he's going to change the circumstances, it means he's going to change you in the circumstances. You'll be able to see it better. You'll be able to understand it better. You'll understand, even if my God does not deliver me like the three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace, we know that He's able. And if He chooses not to, that's okay. When they threw him in, what happened? There were three men in the fire? No. Four. Four men in the fire. He says the one that's true is the one you listen to. He says your soothing words, it's all good. Would to God it were true. Well, verse 10 says, "Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off of Jeremiah's neck and he broke it." The audacity. Oh, he was getting his music going now. He had his tambourine hitting harder. He had his band playing louder. And it was more exciting than ever. Woo! We're going to break the yoke. Let's just all believe it. No. It says in verse 11, "And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Egypt, from the neck of all the nations in the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." You want to underline those words, "went his way," because that's what God does. He goes his way. If we decide we're going to listen to error, if we decide we're not going to listen to His word, if we decide we're going to say we're going to believe it our way and you know, we'll hopefully press God into our mold. God says, I'll give you up. You just go on ahead. Prodigal son, I want all that have coming to me. Okay, here you go. Here's your inheritance. You know what God has done to every one of us? He's given us our inheritance already. Did you know that? You've got it right now. He says you are joint heirs with Christ. It's all yours, and you can go spend it or you can invest it. Right? Isn't that true? But it's when the prodigal gets down and feels like there's nothing left of his inheritance that he comes to his senses. Because there's an insanity about such freedom. Many churches try to manipulate their people by saying, if you don't walk with God, you will lose your salvation. Because it seems serviceable to them if they'll just keep people scared. God says, I'm not about scaring you. I want you to love me for me. And so I'm going to give you it all. And what does the Father do when you go away? He lets you go. But he sits at the doorstep waiting. When are you coming home? When are you coming back? Another day. Get on your knees by the bed, dear God. Bring him home, right? Father's looking for the prodigal. But when the prodigal crests the hill, he runs and he grabs him and he gives him a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe for his back and kills the fatted calf. Did he deserve any of that? No, he spent all of his living. God will let you go your way. Sometimes in the world he goes his way. When he was on the water walking in the night and he was walking on the water and the disciples were wrestling with water, what's the Bible said? It says they saw him out on the water and they supposed it to be a spirit and they were afraid. And Jesus intending to what? Pass by. Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Well, he went his way. He didn't fuss with him anymore, and that's what God does, and he was doing exactly what God would have had him do. Verse 12 says, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but you know what you did? You made for them yokes of iron. Because what you did by your whooping things up is you made people even more desensitized to my word. You made them trust in a lie. And now they're going to be more audacious in my presence, just like you were audacious in my presence. See, false prophecy, speaking wrong, has serious consequence. Because people believe us. If you're credible, your testimony, your witness is credible, then it's very important that we be clear on what's true and what's not true. And if we don't know, we admit that too. I don't know what God's going to do. But the fact is we don't want to be found manipulating God's word, because that can really hurt others as well as ourselves. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. See, he's calling him on it. Could we really do that? Could we go up to a TV preacher and say, hear this now, preacher. God never sent you. Take some guts to do something like that, wouldn't it? And yet you and I ought to have such discernment from God's word to know the ones he sent and the ones he did not. You know, there are people who are afraid to call a cult or a false Christian version of Christianity a false Christian version. But God would have us do it, just like he would have Jeremiah do it. Somebody's got to call it. That's right, that's wrong. If somebody thinks they can get to heaven by working or helping Jesus out, believe he died for our sins, but we also have to become Jewish, like the Judaizers did, that is a false religion. Galatians said, if any man brings any other gospel other than that which we've preached unto you, yea, even if we ourselves have tweaked it and changed it in any way, let him be accursed. And so it is here. He goes right to the faucet of foolishness, and he says, you have not been sent by the Lord. Verse 15 says, but you make this people to trust in a lie. How easy it is to do. We love to trust in lies because lies usually feel a lot more comfortable in the moment. Verse 16, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I cast thee from off the face of the earth, this year thou shalt die. What mercy? You say, what mercy? What mercy? The prophet is preaching to Zedekiah early in his reign, and he gives this prophet press in the courtrooms of the king. And this prophet says it's over in 2 years. Jeremiah is saying, no, you need to submit. And then he reminds everybody what the law said, the one that said a prophecy and it comes true. He's the one you should hear. And now he brings this prophet to the mat and he says, you're going to die in 1 year. You say, man, that's terrible. Poor guy's got to die. Hey, that poor guy was throwing a whole lot of people under the bus. And the fact that he died in that year proved that Jeremiah was the one they needed to be listening to. Is that mercy or what? I think it is. Mercy to the people of God who are listening. Mercy to the king on his throne who will go flirting with Egypt. But not only is he going to die in a year because you have taught rebellion against the Lord, the Bible says in verse 17, the prophet died. He didn't just say it. It wasn't an idle threat. It was a prophecy from a prophet of God. You know what Jesus said? He said, tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll rise it up. Guess what? He did. Rose from the dead. 3 days later, presented himself to over 500 brethren at once, ascended in the presence of a good-sized gathering, poured out his spirit on the 50th day, Pentecost. Bible says in chapter 29, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent to Jerusalem and to the residue of the elders, which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. What you're having in chapter 29, well, I didn't give you the heading. If you have your notes from last time, that was the pinning of the heretic, okay? That's what he did to this Hananiah guy. But what we have now is picturing the future. You know, one thing is very cool about our God is that no matter where we stray or how stumbled we may become, there are manifold evidences that He's always eager, ready, willing to forgive and restore and renew. These guys are carried away. Now, you have to recognize that when the Babylonians came, they took over the land and they placed the city of Jerusalem under tribute. They had to pay so much money. Okay, and it was pretty hefty. I mean, it was oppressive. And Zedekiah is sort of a puppet king in there. But when he conquered the land and put them under tribute, he carried away a bunch of people, all the outskirt cities. Okay, Judah, a lot of the cities, people were carried, outskirt cities were carried away. So there's a group of people that are already in Babylon, and then there's the Jerusalem people and a few people in the outlying small, you know, remnants in different cities. But this is a time where Jeremiah still got Jerusalem. He's still saying it's going to happen. You guys are going to mess it up. We know it. It's a foregone conclusion. And he writes a letter to those exiles and he tells them this in verse 3. I want to kind of bring you on down. Verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, unto whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye yourselves houses, build ye your houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Now, frankly, if you've got time and the wherewithal to build a house and to plant a garden, that's pretty good days. Pretty good days. Had a lady call me today. She said, do you guys help with rent? I said, no, get a job. No, I didn't say that. Didn't say that. But I did tell her, you know, listen, we don't because, you know, we couldn't really help everybody. We're a smaller church. I said, what you really need to do is you need to go get yourself involved in some local church somewhere where they know you and know your business, if you will. And then when you get a bump, they'll be there to help you when things go south. Just gave her a little encouragement in the right direction. But you know, the fact of the matter is, here's a person who lives in a country that maybe even has welfare and situations where they can get money and food and air conditioning and housing. These guys are in Babylon under tribute and under duress, but he's telling them they can plant gardens. They can build houses. In fact, he says, do that.